Blog Talk Radio.
Every time I hear that scripture, I think of Stephen Hurd, who sings a song that uses that scripture in it. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Thanking God this morning for the rock, which is Jesus. Thanking God this morning for his love, for his grace, mercy, for his goodness, for his kindness, for all the things that God has done. We can do nothing more than say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all you've done for me on this day and every day, because the Lord woke you up this morning, did he not? Hallelujah. I'm thankful to be here today. I'm thankful to be awake this morning, because somebody didn't wake up today. Somebody didn't make it in today. Somebody didn't get this new day. So thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Father God, this morning we come to you thanking you for this day that you have made, Lord God. Thanking you for giving us a do-over. Lord God, we're thankful, we're grateful, we're blessed to have a new day, a new season. Lord God, I ask your blessings over families, Lord God. I ask you, Lord God, to give us more than we could ever ask for. I thank God. But you are great and greatly to be praised, Lord. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father God in heaven, as I lift up this word this morning, I ask you to please, God, increase as I do too. Lord God, make a way out of no way. You know what we all need. And, Lord, we're just asking you to bless us and guide us and lead us and keep us as we move forward, oh God, in your word and in our lives. In the name of Christ Jesus, Lord, I thank you for all things good and perfect come from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Whew, thanking God, thanking God, thanking God, thanking God, thanking God, thanking God. We all make mistakes in life. And all we can do is say, Lord, I made a mistake. Please guide me out of it. Because sometimes when you don't depend on God and you depend on man, man will take you down the wrong road. Will take you where you don't need to go and where you don't want to go. So we got to pray every day for God to watch over his children, to guide us and to lead us and to show us the way. Because we all walk down that slippery slope where you all have this done tomorrow. Tomorrow is not promised. So we have to look at every day as a new day and say, Lord, you provide. I need your provision, Lord. Send your provision. And we need God to do that, to send his provision, to send his message, to send his faith. So thank God every day. Even when you're in need, even when you're in debt, thank God anyway. So let's get started. Let's get started. Let's get started. Whew, thank you, Jesus. And the word of God says this, now it happened in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for war to fight with Israel. And Achish said to David, you surely know that you will go out with me to battle, you and your men. So David said to Achish, surely you know that your servant can do what your servant can do. And Achish said to David, therefore I will make you one of my chief guardians forever. Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had lamented for him and buried him in Ramah in his own city. And Saul had put the Midians and the Syrians out of the land. Then the Philistines gathered together and came and encamped at Shunem. So Saul gathered all Israel together, and they encamped at Gibeah. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dream or by Urim or by the prophet. Then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium, and I will go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman at night, and he said, please conduct a seance for me, and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. Then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the Midians and the Syrians from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, who shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? But you are to not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. So he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Now Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you that you may reveal to me what I should do. 10:17. So why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke to me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Immediately Saul fell full length on the ground and was dreadfully afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day or all night. And the woman came to Saul and saw that he was severely troubled and said to him, "Look, your maidservant has obeyed your voice, and I have put my life in my hands and heeded the words which you spoke to me. Now, therefore, please heed also the voice of your maidservant, and let me set a piece of bread before you, and eat that you may have strength when you go on your way." But he refused and said, "I will not eat." So his servant, together with the woman, urged him, and he heeded their voice. Then he arose from the ground and sat on the bed. Now the woman had a fatted calf in the house, and she hastened to kill it. And she took flour and nardly and baked unleavened bread from it. So she brought it before Saul and his servant, and they ate. Then they arose and went away that night, not heeding the voice of God. And this is the life lessons from our words for this morning. Find me a woman who is a medium. Once more, Saul allowed his fear to spear him on to a foolish and wicked choice. If we do not deal with our fear by bringing it to the Lord, it will eventually crush us. 1 Samuel 28:10, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. By this point in the story, Saul is an absolute mess spiritually. He even swears by the Lord not to do what the Lord has commanded, Leviticus 20:27. And when we go over there, remember when the Lord told everybody not to go to mediums and spiritualists and, you know, all of these things that God had already said to do, he had already done. So let's go over to our word and go to Leviticus chapter 20. And we're going to go to verse 27. And when we go to Leviticus, it says this. A man or a woman who is a medium or who has familiar spirits shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them, because you are not supposed to be going to mediums and to spiritualists. You know, you don't go to the psychic hotline to find out what's going on. And somebody told me, "I'm on my way." And that poor lady is now deceased. She was on her way to hell because it said that you're not supposed to go to those people. You know, you don't need to go to, "Let me go check my horoscope." Nope. I'll check with God. I don't need to do that. You know, and it goes on to say, our profession of faith will never substitute for genuine, obedient faith. That's the truth. And 1 Samuel 28:19, the Lord will always deliver Israel with you. And the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines. Samuel had not mellowed even in death. He had not. He still proclaimed the same uncompromising message that he delivered while alive. And God still fulfilled his words. His word is a rock on which we can build our entire lives. And our title today is coming out of the 61st Psalm, verses 1 through 4. And it says, to the chief musician on a string instrument, a psalm of David, which we will read in a little bit, but we're going to continue in 1 Samuel. And we're in 1 Samuel chapter 29 through chapter 31. And it says this. Then the Philistines gathered together all their armies at Ephek, and the Israelites encamped by a fountain, which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed in review by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed in review at the rear with archers. Then the princes of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me these days or these years? And to this day I have found no fault in him, since he defected to me." But the princes of the Philistines were angry with him. So the princes of the Philistines said to him, "Make this fellow return, that he may go back to the place where you have appointed for him. And do not let him go down with us to battle, lest in the battle he become our adversary. But with what could he reconcile himself to his master, if not with the hands of these men? Is this not David, of whom they sang to one another in chants and dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousand, and David his 10,000. And Achish called David and said to him, "Surely, as the Lord lives, you have been upright, and you're going out, and you're coming in with me in this army and good in my sight. But to this day I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord do not favor you. Therefore return now and go in peace, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines." So David said to Achish, "For what have I done? And to this day, what have you found in your servant as long as I have been with you, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" Then Achish answered and said to David, "I know that you are as good in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the princes of the Philistines have said, 'He shall not go up with us to the battle now.' Therefore, rise early in the morning with your master's servants who have come with you, and as soon as you are up early in the morning and at light, depart." So David and his men rose early to depart in the morning and returned to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked. Ziklag had burned it with fire, had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire. And their wives, their sons, their daughters had been taken captive. When David and the people who were with them lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, and Ahinoam and the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken. Now, you know David is not going to play. They done took his wife. David is not going to have that. So let's see what happens. Get a drink real quick here. Now, David was greatly distressed. But the people spoke of stoning him. So of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, Amalek's son, "Please bring the ephod here to me." And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them?" And he answered him, "Pursue, but you shall surely overtake them. Without fail, recover all." So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook of Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. But David pursued, he and 400 men, but 200 stayed behind, who were so weary that they could not cross the brook of Besor. Then they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David. And they gave him bread, and he ate, and they let him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of food and two clusters of raisins. So when he had eaten, his strength came back to him. For he had eaten no bread nor drank water for 3 days and 3 nights. Then David said to him, "To whom do you belong, and where are you from?" And he said, "I am a young man from Egypt, servant of an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion of the southern area of the Kephthites in the territory which belongs to Judah, and of the southern area of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, can you take me down to this troop? So he said, swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will take you down to his troop, to this troop. And when he had brought him down, there they were spread out over all the land, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoils which they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. Then David attacked them from twilight until the evening of the next day. Not a man of them escaped except 400 young men who rode on camels and fled. So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and nothing of theirs was lacking, their small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything which they had taken from them. David recovered all. Then David took all the flocks, the herds they had driven before those other livestock and said, this is David's spoil. Now David came to the 200 men who had been so weary that they could not follow David, whom they also had made to stay at the brook of Besor. So they went out to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near the people, he greeted them. Then all the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered said, because they did not go with us, we will not divide them any of this spoil that we have recovered, except for every man's wife and children, that they may lead them away and depart. But David said, my brother, you shall not do so with what the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered into our hand the troops that came against us. But he will heed you in this manner. But at this, but at his part is who goes down to the battle. So shall his part be who stays by the supplies. They shall share alike. So it was from that day forward he made it a statute and an ordinance for Israel to this day. Now when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the spoil to the elders of Judah, to his friends, saying, here is a present for you from the spoil of the enemies of the Lord. To those who were in Bethel, those who were in Ramoth of the south, those who were in Sathamoth, those who were in the Eshtemoa, those who were in Rasha, those who were in the cities of the Jeremites, those who were in the cities of the Kenites, those who were in Harmah, those who were in Chirushan, those who were in Attak, those who were in Hebron, and to all the places where David himself and his men were accustomed to rove. Chapter 31. Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell slain on Mount Gilboa. Then the Philistines followed hard after Saul and his sons, and the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishai. The battle became fierce against Saul. The archers hit him, and he was severely wounded by the archers. Then Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer could not, for he was greatly afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell on it. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was dead, he also fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul, his three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men died together that same day. And when the men of Israel who were on the other side of the valley and those who were on the other side of the Jordan saw that the men of Israel had fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead, they forsook the cities and fled. And the Philistines came and dwelt in them. So it happened the next day, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen on Mount Gilboa, and they cut off his head and stripped off his armor, and sent word throughout the land of the Philistines to proclaim it in the temples of their idols and among the people. Then they put his armor in a temple, in the temple of the Asherah, and they fastened his body to the wall of Beth Shan. Now when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard that the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and traveled all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Beth Shan, and they came to Jabesh and buried them there. Then they took their bones and buried them under the tamarisk tree in Jabesh and fasted 7 days. That's some evil stuff. To take somebody's body, cut off their head and put their body like that. That's just evil. And we're going to come back to the life lessons and life principles after we go on and finish up. Actually, no, we're going to go back because we'll be starting in a new book, 2 Samuel. So let's go back and finish up 1 Samuel with our life lessons. I want to make sure we get our psalm in because that's where our word is coming from this morning. And it says in 1 Samuel 30:1, this is our life lesson. The Amalekites invade the south of Ziklag. The blessing and anointing of the Lord does not exempt a person from hardship and tragedy. Which I'll catch that. The blessing of the Lord, the blessing and anointing of the Lord does not exempt a person from hardship and tragedy. Yet the Lord is at work even though tragedy, even through tragedy, and he asks us to trust him even in the hard times. God asks us to trust him even in hard times. In 1 Samuel 30:20, this is David's boy, as he had done with Joseph. Centuries before, God took a personal tragedy for David and turned it into a personal blessing. Obedience always brings blessings, even in dark and puzzling times. 1 Samuel 30:22. All the wicked and worthless men of those who went with David answered, even after times of victory, the wicked and the worthless can rise their complaints. God allows the wheat and the tares to grow together. Y'all heard that right. The wheat and the tares grow together. And we must be ready for this and make sure we know how to handle the criticism with God's grace. You know, you can't just go tit for tat. You can't go tit for tat. Well, he did this, so I'm going to do that. He said this, so I'm going to say that. Just let it go. First Samuel 31:2, the Philistines killed Jonathan, Abinadab, and the Malchishai, Saul's sons. Jonathan loved God and delighted in his close friendship, his close friend David. And yet the Lord allowed the Philistines to kill him. Why? We can speculate, but God does not tell us why. Even in tragedy, our job is to trust. Our job is to trust God, even in tragedy. We all have been there. We all have lost. We all have lost loved ones. We've lost family members. We've lost certain parts of our health. We've lost different things. But we still trust God. We still trust God. 1 Samuel 31:9, they cut off his head and stripped off his armor. God sometimes allows his enemies to triumph and even to celebrate and believe that they have overcome him. But only for a while. God takes the long view of history and always triumphs in the end. We got to say nothing but praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, saints, this morning. God triumphs all the time. And I have a few things for you. Just jot down a few of these notes if you want to. And it says life principle. The dark moments in our life will last only so long as is necessary for God to accomplish his purpose in us. 1 Samuel 31:6. If you want God's best for your life and desire to be used by him, at some point you will have to travel the road of adversity. This means that God's purpose for adversity cannot be bad. And yet, sadly, many people allow adversity to become a major point of setback and defeat. You don't have to be among them. God has designed adversity regardless of its point from which you take your greatest leap forward in spiritual growth. He allows adversity to remain in your life only until it has enabled him to accomplish his purpose in you. He will not keep it in your life 1 second longer than is necessary. Some people are almost wiped out by trials, while others learn to stand in the confidence of God's faithfulness. The latter have an overwhelming sense of stability and immovable strength. They weather the storm, head held high, confident, hold bold, and not repressing anything. They feel absolutely certain that their God is going to see them through the heartache and bring them out whole and joyful and more mature on the other side. Adversity also shows us where we stand in our faith. Do we doubt God? Do we thank him for his faithfulness in the stormy, heart-wrenching time? Can we trust him when he says he will never leave us or forsake us? Adversity is God's most accurate barometer for faith. It also reveals our endurance level. None of us knows how much physical or emotional pain we can withstand right now, right where you are. Remember this, God has put a limit on all adversity. Because you are a child of God. The Holy Spirit is living inside of you. He knows how much you can bear. You can endure the suffering and the hardship to the limit. God is given, as the psalmist said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. And as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. But he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Psalm 103:13-14. When we learn and mature in the midst of tremendous adversity, God is pleased because he sees his purpose being fulfilled in us. We are growing spiritually because stronger is in areas of weakness and increases being confirmed to the likeness of Christ. God is thrilled when we respond correctly to adversity. We all go through it. None of us are spared adversity. None of us are spared. We all go through. We all go through. But God is always there. He's always with us. He's always there holding our hand, holding us up, giving us strength. I believe God weaves three principal threads into adversity. And the first thread, Dr. Stanley says, is adversity is God's choice tool for building godly spiritual character into our lives. Until we experience heartache, disappointment, and pain, we are not properly equipped for service. He uses adversity to mold and shape us. He does not bring it into our lives without purpose. Adversity number two. Adversity usually comes in the areas where we feel the most confident. God wants to break us of the idea that we are sufficient on our own, because we are not. Tell you that. He made us for a loving, dependent relationship with himself. And he uses adversity to remind us of the fact. Number three, God's ultimate design is to conform you to the likeness of Jesus. He has something definite in mind. God allows adversity to mold and shape you, but he uses it only so long as it is needed. Once it has performed its function, he takes it away. What do you think God has in mind when he allows adversity to invade your life? I believe God wants to accomplish several goals in your life and mind by allowing suffering and heartache into our experience, adversity, gets our attention. If y'all want to write this down, adversity, one, gets our attention, delivers us from pride, reveals our weaknesses and strengths, increases our hatred of sin, demonstrates the faithfulness of God, strengthens our faith, removes pride and self-centeredness, prepares us for future service, enables us to comfort others facing adversity. Through adversity, He is molding you into a mature child of God. Whenever God sees you, He sees a saint, sometimes struggling, sometimes failing, but justified, redeemed, forgiven, and reconciled to Him. He sees a saint full of His unconditional love, indwelled by His presence, sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He sees you on your way to heaven with purpose and direction in your life. He sees someone in whom adversity can never take up permanent residence. Ooh, what a word. And the number three, the 1 through 3 is again, adversity is God's choice to for building godly spiritual character in our lives. Number three, adversity usually comes in the areas where we feel the most confident. Number three, God's ultimate design is to conform you to the likeness of Jesus. And again, adversity gets our attention, delivers us from pride, reveals our weaknesses and strengths, increases our hatred of sin, demonstrates the faithfulness of God, strengthens our faith, removes pride and self-centeredness, prepares us for future service, enables us to comfort others facing adversity. What a brilliant and wonderful word. And let's go back real quick before we go into 2 Samuel. We're going to go to our psalm, which is the title of our lesson today. Psalm of David, the 61st psalm, and it says this: to the chief musician on an instrument, a psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Ooh, I got to read that again. Hear my cry, O God. God knows what you're going through. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I will abide in the shelter. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Are you trusting in the shelter of God's wings this morning? Are you believing that He can accomplish everything He said He can? That He will take care of you? Hallelujah. And as we continue the 61st Psalm, for you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years, as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Hallelujah. Are you lifting up the name of Jesus this morning? The 62nd Psalm, verses 1 through 4. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain up like a leaning wall, and they only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. In our Proverbs, and then we're going to go into 2 Samuel, it says this. In Proverbs 16:6, in a mercy and truth, in mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. Can y'all hear that? By the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. Proverbs 16:7-9, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Praise the Lord. Whew, Jesus, what a good word. And as he continues, divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness, for a throne is established by righteousness. It's all messed up. When he went to the medium and called Samuel from the dead, he messed up. He messed up. And he didn't have time to clean up because he died. We got to clean up our mess while, as they say, while the sun is up, it's time to go to work. So we need to go to work. We need to work for God. There's things we must do. There's things we must do. 2 Samuel chapter 1, chapter 2. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had stayed 2 days in Ziklag. On the third day, behold, it happened that a man came from Saul's camp with his clothes torn and dust on his head. So it was when he came to David that he fell to the ground and prostrated himself. And David said to him, where have you come from? So he said to him, I have escaped from the camp of Israel. Then David said to him, how did that matter go? Please tell me. See, this is somebody thinking he's going to give something for nothing, trying to be swift and don't know. He's about to cost himself his life. Because when you don't know a whole story, you think you know and you don't know anything. When you think you can just say what you want to say and don't have a clue, you're going to beat his behind. This man's behind is about to be tore up. And he answered, the people have fled from the battle. Many of the people have fallen and dead, and Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. So David said to the young men, who told him, how do you know that Saul and Jonathan his son are dead? Then the young man who told him said, as I happened by chance to be on Mount Gilboa, there was Saul leaning on his spear, and indeed the chariots and horsemen followed hard after him. Now when he looked behind him, he saw me and called to me. And I answered, here I am. And he said to me, who are you? So I answered him, I am an Amalekite. And he said to me again, please stand over me and kill me, for anguish has come upon me, but my life still remains in me. So I stood over him and killed him, because I was sure that he could not live after he had fallen. And I took the crown that was on his head and the bracelet that was on his arm, and I brought them here to my Lord. Therefore David took hold of his own clothes and tore them, and so did all the men who were with him. And they mourned and wept after until evening for Saul and for Jonathan, his son, for the people of Israel, and for the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. Then David said to the young man, who told him, where are you from? And he answered, I am the son of an alien and an Amalekite. So David said to him, how was it you are not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointing. Then David called one of the young men and said, go near and execute him. And he struck him so that he died. So David said to him, your blood is on your own head, for your own mouth has testified against you, saying, I have killed the Lord's anointing. Then David lamented with his lamentation over Saul and over Jonathan, his son, and he told them to teach the children of Judah the song of the bow. Indeed, it is written in the book of Jashar, the beauty of Israel is slain on your high places. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets, Kalon. Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Lest the daughters of the uncircumcised triumph. O mountains of Gabor, let there be no dew nor rain upon you, nor fields of offering. But the shield of the mighty is cast away there. The shield of Saul not anointed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty. The bow of Jonathan did not turn back. And the sword of Saul did not return empty. Saul and Jonathan were beloved and pleasant in their lives. And in their death, they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you in scarlet with luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan was slain in your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war perished. And this chapter 2. It happened after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said to him, go up. David said, where shall I go up? And he said, to Hebron. So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam and the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. And David brought up the men who were with him, every man with his household. So they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, the men of Jabesh-Gilead were the ones who buried Saul. So David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said to them, you are blessed of the Lord, for you have shown this kindness to your Lord, to Saul, and have buried him. And now may the Lord show kindness and truth to you. I also will repay you this kindness because you have done this thing. Now therefore let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah has anointed me king over them. But Abner the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, took Ish-bosheth the son of Saul and brought him over to Menahem. And he made him king over Gilead, over the Asherites, over Jezreel, over Ephraim, over Benjamin, over all Israel. Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel. And he reigned 2 years. Only the house of Judah followed David. And the time that David was king in Hebron over the house of Judah was 7 years and 6 months. Now Abner, the son of Ner, and the servant of Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, went out with Manahem to Gibeon, and Joab, the son of Zerah, and the servants of David went out and met them by the pool of Gibeon. So they sat down, one on one side of the pool and the other on the other side of the pool. Then Abner said to Joab, let them now compete before us. And Joab said, let them arise. So they arose and went over by number 12 from Benjamin, followers of Ish-bosheth and the son of Saul, and 12 from the servants of David. And each one grasped his opponent by the head and thrust his sword fell down together. Therefore the place was called the Field of Sharp Swords, which is in Gibeon. So there was a very fierce battle that day. and Abner and the men of Israel were beaten before the servants of David. Now the three sons of Zeruiah were there, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. And Asahel was as fleet of foot as a wild gazelle. But Asahel pursued Abner, and in going he did not turn to the right hand or to the left from far as Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, are you Asahel? And he answered, I am. And Abner said to him, turn aside to your right hand or to your left and lay hold of one of the younger men, and I take his armor for yourself. But Asahel would not turn aside from following him. So Abner said again to Asahel, turn aside from following me. Why should I strike you to the ground? How then could I face your brother Joab? However, he refused to turn aside. So Abner struck him in the stomach of his back, and he fell down there and died on the spot. So was that as many as came to the place where Asahel fell down and died stood still. Joab and Abishai also pursued Abner, and the sun was going down when they came to the hill of Armah, which is before Gibeah, by the road to the wilderness of Gibeah. Now the children of Benjamin gathered together behind Abner and became a unit and took their stand on top of the hill. Then Abner called to Joab and said, shall the sword devour forever? Do you not know that it will be bitter in the latter end? How long will it be then until you tell the people to return from pursuing their brothers? And Joab said, as God lives, unless you had spoken surely, then by morning all the people would have given up pursuing their brothers. So Joab blew a trumpet, and all the people stood still and did not pursue Israel anymore, nor did they fight anymore. Then Abner and his men went on all that night through the plains, crossed over the Jordan, and went through all Bethlehem and came to Menahem. So Joab returned from pursuing Abner, and when he had gathered all the people together, there were missing of David's servant 19 men and Asahel. But the servant of David had struck down a Benjamin and Abner's men, 360 men, who died. Then they took up Asahel and buried him in his father's tomb, which was in Bethlehem. And Joab and his men went all night, and they came to Hebron at daybreak. And understanding that things happen. If the brother had stopped pursuing Abner, he would have lived. But he chose to continue. He chose to continue on. And he chose to die. But understand, thing has a consequence. Abner's killing him has a consequence. And you'll find that out as you go through this word. In 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 16, your blood is on your own head, for your own mouth has testified against you. Hoping for a reward, the Amalekites lied about his role in Saul's death. He had just stripped the dead king of some personal effects. David rewarded him with death, since no man had the right to kill the Lord's anointed. Did y'all catch that? Because as we go back over to 1 Samuel chapter 31, what does it say? Now the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled. But then it says, then Saul, verse 4, then Saul said to his armor bearer, draw your sword and thrust me through with it, lest these uncircumcised men come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor bearer would not, for he was greatly afraid. Again, touch not my God's anointed. He was not going to kill Saul. He's like, you are anointed by God. Then Saul took a sword and fell on him. And when his armor bearer saw that Saul was what? Dead. He fell on his sword and died with him. So Saul, his three sons, his armor bearer, and all his men died together that same day. Saul committed suicide. And so this Amalekite thought he could come to David because he had heard that Saul and David had issues. So he thought he could come and make a few bucks, make a few dollars. No, he lost his life because he lied and said he had killed God's anointed. not understanding that David could have killed Saul many a time, but didn't. And then he thought he was going to get away with that mess. Lying. You can lie yourself to death. And that's what just happened. He lied himself to death. Samuel 1 and 26. I am distressed for you, my beloved Jonathan, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. David honored Saul in his lament, but he celebrated Jonathan. His dear friend David became what he was, at least in part because of Jonathan. Friends play an important role in shaping our spiritual destiny. That is so true. I thank God for the women of God who I pray with, who, you know, I learn from. Thank you, my pastor, for also being my mentor. Life lessons, and it says in 2 Samuel 2 and 1, shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah? David asked God for his leading again in the manner of where he should live. Listening to God is essential to walking with God. 2 Samuel 2 and 10, Ishbosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he began to reign over Israel. Abner, not God, made Saul's son king over Israel. Y'all caught that, right? The arrangement lasted for 2 years, but in the end, it brought the nation nothing but heartache. Whatever we acquire outside of God's will eventually turns to ashes. Oh, so true. David, competent over time. Often we want too much too soon. This is often true in our desire to become highly competent. But skills take time to fully develop. We acquire wisdom over time and build character slowly. David knew about the development of competency over time. Samuel anointed David as king of Israel fairly early in his life, probably when he was a teenager. Yet David did not automatically become king. In the military realm, few people experience as much success as David. Yet David slew a bear and a lion long before he encountered Goliath. God was working in David during his shepherd days, giving him experiences that would build his courage. David's faith grew as he saw the Lord's presence in his life through memorable experiences. And so it is with our competency. The Lord works in us over time, helping us to develop and hone certain skills, in the end, making us effective and successful. Praise the Lord, family. That is our word for this morning. We have read 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, chapter 1 and chapter 2, as well as the 62nd and 61st Psalm. So thank you, God, for you this morning.